Welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig reporting from the Agile 2012 conference in Dallas, Texas. Coming up a little later in the podcast, I've got a very special interview with Jonathan Rasmussen, author of The Agile Samurai, so stick around for that. But firstly, what did I see on day one? It was essentially workshop day today, so two workshops, 3 hours each, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, very easily. This morning I got along to one called Badass Double Loop Learning, From Judgmental to Good Judgment. It was hosted by Derek W. Wade and Susan Eller. Now, wins the award for best title name, but Susan Eller comes from a medical background, so not agile at all. She's essentially the equivalent of an agile coach in medical clinics. Derek W. Wade has a background in aviation, also has been working in medical of recent time, but also comes from the agile community as well. Now, one of the interesting statistics that they popped right off the top was that in healthcare, 70% of errors happen due to lack of communication. Pretty scary stuff. And the number is pretty similar for aviation. So I guess if you didn't think communication was important, there's a good stat for you. The whole point of being a workshop was, to take coaches through some scenarios about how they can react better to situations. And one of the first ones we went through was a clinical scenario where a couple of doctors were giving feedback to a patient. And as participants, we had to give feedback about what we saw, which was quite interesting. We then went on to talk about frames and mental models. And essentially, first off the bat is that context is king. We really have to make sure that we match our context to the other person and really determine what frame they're in. Derek went on to introduce something called the ladder of inference. It's from a book called The Fifth Discipline Field Book. And what that's really saying is that it gives you a model that says that we can observe things. We can observe data and experiences. We can also observe actions, but everything else is within. So your conclusions are either something observed or something inferred. So you really have to check that you know what's going on. The second thing is make sure that when you have a WTF moment, you ask what's going on. Now, when I say WTF, what that really means is where's that from? But interestingly, you know, the way this was couched was that when you hear something and you actually think WTF in the way that you might think of it, was, you know, what the frig, then when you're thinking that, instead of going, what's going on, jumping to conclusions, take the frame and go, well, where's that from? That doesn't make any sense. What's actually behind that message? And go and investigate it. So that led on to essentially what the talk was about, which is double loop interactions. So when you think of a single loop interaction, that's essentially where somebody does something, gets an outcome, and repeats it. So somebody says something to you, you kind of just give them an answer back. Whereas double frame interaction is where you really want to ask why they did it. So do something, get an outcome, and then learn from the interaction. So as a coaching point of view, it's about how you deliver the message. So what you want to do is bring to the attention of the other person what you saw, and then try and understand why they did it. That way, both you and they get a learning from it. So to uncover your own thinking, what they suggest is use lots of I statements to remove the defensive stance. So here's what I noticed, here's what I do, those types of things. Really, the point is that if you're an agile coach, understanding the appropriateness rather than just telling them how to do it, that's when you're doing double loop learning. Where this went was to another exercise where we did a simulation with a whole bunch of people around the table, and then we did a debrief to make sure that people actually had practice in doing the whole double loop learning. So it makes a bit more sense if you actually get to see the model, and I'll certainly post that in the show notes when I get a chance to link to that. But some very interesting stuff, and another thing to put in the coach's toolbox. So this afternoon I got along to another session. Now, interestingly, there was a whole bunch of really good sessions this afternoon, things I really, really wanted to get along to. But if you weren't quick around this place, you didn't get in because all the rooms filled up very fast. So I ended up going along to see Jonathan Rasmussen, who was talking about the Agile Inception Deck, 10 questions you'd be crazy not to ask before starting a project. So yeah, why wouldn't you get along to see that? Now, essentially, Jonathan basically had the 10 questions. It's the kind of stuff that you do right at the start of the project. It's what we quite often call the concept phase, because at the front is the time to ask hard questions. And one of the things he found was that not enough agile projects were taking the time to do this. So what are his 10 questions? The first one, ask why we are here. The second one, create an elevator pitch. Number three, create a product box. Four, create a not list, which is essentially your scope. Number five, meet your neighbors, which is all about understanding your stakeholders. Number six, show the solution, which is all about your architectural maps. Number seven, ask what keeps you up at night, what are the risks worth taking and those that aren't. Number eight, size it up, so basically knowing how big it is. Number nine, be clear on what's going to give, so you know, essentially looking at your trade-off sliders. And number 10, what's it going to take, so be understand, you know, what you need on your team, you know, who you need, who'll make final decisions, those types of things. And we went through an exercise at the end of the session that essentially allow participants to put those big things up on big visual charts and talk to them. So very interesting, and a lot of people got a lot out of that session. So if you want to take a look at the deck that Jonathan has created, he has that on his website, agilewarrior.com. So after the session, I had the great opportunity to catch up with Jonathan and have a bit of a chat to him about what inspired him to do the talk and what's happening in his world. A little bit about the book as well, The Agile Samurai, which has recently come out from the Pragmatic Programmers. So here's a very quick interview with Jonathan Rasmussen. All right, so I'm here with Jonathan Rasmussen. How you doing, Jonathan?
Very good, thanks.
So just been sitting in your session on the Agile Inception deck. I guess the first question I had for you was, the Agile Inception deck, can you explain that? And then what was your inspiration behind that?
Yeah, the Agile Inception deck actually came about where I was working at ThoughtWorks at the time, and we had projects that were executing okay, but we still found we weren't getting complete alignment as best we thought we could early on. And we knew that doing a really big upfront project charter wasn't the answer. So it was actually an Australian, I believe originally, who came up with the idea, Robin Givens, who worked with Jim Highsmith, came up with about 10 questions that they thought were really good to ask at the beginning of any project. And that kind of became the birth of the Inception deck, and that was something that I found very effective and have since then started using on a lot of my projects.
Cool, and the reason for that was, I guess, projects weren't really kicking off.
Yeah, it was. You know what it was really about was expectation setting. So there were so many expectations that we thought were assumptions that proved out to be wrong while we were executing, that there were some really hard conversations I found I wanted to have at the beginning of projects. Take trade-off sliders, for example. You know, in Agile, we always take for granted that we're always going to be able to flex around scope. Well, I want to make sure that the stakeholders understand that when we get into too much to do and not enough time, this is how we're going to deal with that problem. So that's just one question I really want to make sure we have with them up front before starting.
Cool. So your book, The Agile Samurai, came out recently on Pragmatic Programmers. This is in the book, I believe.
Yes, it is. It's about a third of the book. The first part is, we talk about teams and the reasons for getting into Agile, but a good chunk is dedicated to the Inception deck, just sort of explain the rationale, the why, and giving some examples of how it might work.
And the rest of the book?
The rest of the book is then set up on execution and planning. So there's one section that talks about how Agile planning works, user stories, estimation, things of that nature. And then the latter part is on execution, iteration mechanics, with a chapter also dedicated to four what I like to consider essential software engineering practices: refactoring, continuous integration, TD, and unit testing.
Oh, cool. So it takes the whole span.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually, the book almost started in Australia when I was working there in Sydney around 2006. I got tired of going into companies and saying, here, if you want to do Agile, read these seven books, and then we can talk. So this was kind of a reaction to that. I said, there's got to be a simpler way to introduce this stuff. There's got to be one book that can distill all this down into about 200 pages. And I just didn't like how complex some of the stuff was getting. For instance, I didn't think you needed an entire book on user stories. I thought you could explain it in 10 pages. So that was kind of how the Agile Samurai came about.
Oh, that's awesome. I must admit, I haven't read the book, but now that I know that, I think I'll be rushing over to
good.
To the stand to have a closer look at it, because I exactly have that same problem. It's, what should I read? And you barrel off about, 14 books off the list.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to do this stuff. So yeah, that was really good. So the success of it's been pretty good then?
Sorry?
The success of the book has been
good?
Yeah,
no, the book's done very well. Earlier this year, it was number two on Amazon, which is great, and I think it's dropped off since, but no, it's got a great reception, and people are reading it. It's doing very well in Japan. There's Kakutani Shintaro and a company over there did a wonderful translation, and that's a nation that's really just getting into Agile. It almost looks to me like North America did about 8 to 10 years ago. So it's I think it's timely for them, and it's been picked up pretty well.
Awesome. And the rest of the conference, you've got another talk tomorrow, I believe?
Yes, I'm doing an Agile in a Nutshell tomorrow, and then that's it for my presenting.
All right, responsibilities. So that's an introductory talk.
That's really for people who are brand new to Agile. It looks a little bit scary. They're not really sure how it works compared to a more traditional stage-gated process. So try is just to dispel some of those myths and make it a little bit easier.
Awesome. And I guess my last question for you is, we're here at the Agile conference. I think I heard a stat that there's, 70% of the people here are new to Agile, which I think is, a larger number than I think we've ever been expecting. And then people like us who have been around the traps for a long while. Where do you think the future is for our community moving forward?
Oh, boy.
It's a tough question after you've been speaking 3 hours at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
I'll tell you where I'm at right now. I get a little bit nostalgic for the old days of when Agile sort of first came out, and it was the early adopters. That was obviously a very fun and exciting time because it was us against the world. And now that the world's caught up, I think Agile is going to be absorbed and morphed into a kind of a more enterprise-y or corporate offering because everyone's demanding it. And whether people can offer it or not, it's something companies definitely want to be able to put in their resumes and say, we do this. Of course, they'll have to make it work within their own context of how they like to work. So it's definitely going to change. I think there's always going to be a community of people who are continuously looking for ways to work better, whether that's called Agile or something else in the future. That's fine. I think the core community will always be there, though, so I think that's the important bit.
Yeah, I think I always take spirit of back at the manifesto was that I don't think we'll ever have a revolution. It's always just going to be evolution. And I think the problem will be is who's going to take over the name.
It's definitely, yeah.
Cool. I think you did say in the talk just before we left that when you're talking to someone at the end that you often go into organizations and you just don't use the A word.
No, yeah, because for a lot of business folks, they could care less whether it's called Agile or Scrum or Lean or Waterfall. They just want something that works that solves their problems. So if I think there's going to be resistance to the word Agile, I'll just come in and say, hey, is it okay if we get together in a couple weeks and I just show you some stuff we built to get your feedback? And business, of course, loves that. They're like, yeah, absolutely, we love that. So I find business and a lot of people just like working this way. But at the end of the day, whether it's called Agile or not, is it important? Delivering good working software to our customers is kind of what it's all about. So.
Awesome. And if people want to find out more about you, Jonathan, where should they go?
They can find me on Twitter at jrasmussen, jrasmussen. I also have a blog at agilewarrior.wordpress.com.
Awesome. And just look for the samurai if you're looking for the book.
Absolutely.
Thanks for taking the time, Jonathan.
Okay, thanks a lot, Craig.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And finally, last on the agenda was the icebreaker reception here at the conference. Time for the exhibitors to show their wares. There was all sorts of interesting things going on. There was bull riding competitions and the like going on in the conference hall as well. So a lot of fun to be had and a lot of just mingling around the conference hall and meeting up with other people. So that's it from day one of Agile 2012. I'll be back tomorrow with some information on what I see around day two. Until then, catch you later. Viva la revolution.